Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Thank you so much for listening, and if you joined me for this podcast in the past, welcome back. You're probably noticed Sun on the Strip has been on vacation the past 2 weeks. I got out of town a bit, but I'm happy to be back just in time for the hottest temperatures of the year so far. Summer in Vegas is the best. Yeah, it's super hot, but things are not really slowing down on the Strip and in the Vegas entertainment world, and I've got a lot to share with you today. But before we get into that stuff, I am excited to announce that I'm part of a new podcast from Greenspun Media Group, and more specifically from Las Vegas Weekly Magazine. I've teamed with Leslie Ventura and Genevieve Durano, who have both appeared on Sun on the Strip multiple times to talk about food and restaurants. And we've created Second Helping, a monthly podcast dedicated to the dynamic food and beverage scene all over Las Vegas. It's something of a companion piece to Las Vegas Weekly's food and drink section. We're digging a little deeper into the scene on this show. The first episode came out July 1st, and you can find it on iTunes, on YouTube, and at lasvegasweekly.com. I did a piece about the amazing gourmet hot dogs at the Las Vegas ballpark in downtown Summerlin, which was very fun and delicious. So go check it out. I'm really proud of it and really proud of all the podcasts being produced here at GMG. It's become quite the stable of shows at this point. If you listen to Sun on the Strip and like it, I highly recommend you also check out the Sun's sports shows, Prep Sports Now, The Rebel Room, and the Vegas Golden Podcast. All three of those will be resuming at the end of the summer, as well as Las Vegas Weekly's All the Vegas Podcast, which I host with Mark Chinook, the local entertainer behind Monday's Dark. And that's an entertainment-oriented show with a different guest on each episode, including strip performers like Jen Kramer, Jacqueline McSpadden, Tape Face, Terry Fader. They've all been guests on All the Vegas in the last year, and it's a lot of fun. You can listen to all these shows on iTunes or go to lasvegassun.com/podcasts or lasvegasweekly.com/podcasts. We're cranking out a ton of high-quality digital content here at GMG, and we appreciate you listening and participating and rating these products on iTunes and telling your friends all the cool stuff we're working on. Thanks once again. Thank you. So let's get into the latest shows that have been announced and kind of work our way backwards into some of the older Strip news we missed while we were gone. Just announced on Friday at Caesars Palace, country superstar Keith Urban will be the first artist to play the renovated Coliseum when he hits a Strip for two shows, September 6th and 7th. These concerts are part of his Graffiti U World Tour. It's the first time that he's played back-to-back nights in Las Vegas, first time ever, and tickets go on sale this Friday. The renovation at the Coliseum is underway. The next shows scheduled there after Keith Urban in September are Luis Miguel, Enrique Iglesias, Rod Stewart's residency is coming back, and Jerry Seinfeld's coming back. And then later in the fall, Steve Martin and Martin Short return, Journey, Guns N' Roses, Madonna, and more. The Keith Urban shows are going to be the grand opening and also the first chance to see a show at the Coliseum with its new general admission capability on the main floor. Remember, we've reported and talked all about how the floor right in front of the stage at the Coliseum is going to be raised and lowered depending on the artist's and venue's preferences, creating that standing GA area or a normal seating area. It's going to be standing for Keith Urban, and that should really change the dynamic of the room and the show. Lots of extra energy. Tony Bennett is also coming back to the Strip. The legendary crooner has most recently popped up on stage at Park Theater along with Lady Gaga and played his own shows at Encore Theater at Wynn in recent years. He's moving to the Venetian for a limited engagement dubbed I Left My Heart in Las Vegas, September 25th, 27th, and 28th. At the Venetian Theater. Tickets for these shows also go on sale Friday. He's going to have his daughter, Antonia Bennett, opening, as he's done a lot lately. And she also sings jazz and pop. Seems like a great fit at the Venetian, which also has Jackson Browne, Michael McDonald, and Willie Nelson coming up. I've been talking and writing a lot about Spy Entertainment lately because the company is expanding what was its first show in Las Vegas, Thunder from Down Under, by renovating the showroom at Excalibur and bringing a new magic show from Hans Klock into that space later this month. I'm going to have some interviews with those folks for you next week on The Sun on the Strip, but Spy has another new show coming to the Strip, and it's along similar lines as the Mike Tyson Undisputed Truth show it produced a few years back. It's Caesar Milan, My Story Unleashed, and it's coming to the David Copperfield Theater at MGM Grand September 12th through the 18th. Caesar Milan, of course, is a dog trainer, actually an animal behaviorist who became a TV star via the Emmy-nominated series Dog Whisperer. This show's a new project for him, telling his story live on stage. He actually came to the United States from Mexico with pretty much just the shirt on his back and should have a pretty cool version of the American Dream story to tell Vegas audiences. Going from having nothing to working with Oprah, Jerry Seinfeld, and other celebrities, and their pets, of course. A pretty interesting new offering for Las Vegas, and tickets are already on sale for that. And finally, right before I went away on summer vacation, I went to the big party at SLS, where the resort announced its impending rebranding to Sahara Las Vegas. And shortly after that, it announced its new show, Blanc de Blanc. Hopefully you caught the news in my last week curtain up column at LasVegasSun.com, which you should be reading every Thursday online for all the Strip and Vegas show news you need. But Blanc de Blanc is a cabaret show from Australia's Strut and Fret production house. There are different elements of theater and circus, like acrobats and dancers, probably a little burlesque and comedy. It sounds a little bit like Absinthe, and it's going to open in the Foundry at SLS on August 16th. I'm excited about the show, but I'm more excited about this property having a resident show in its largest entertainment space on property. And I'm sure I'll be reporting on this one a lot in the coming weeks, so stay tuned. Speaking of new shows, on the North Strip, Celestia seems to be finding its rhythm at the Strat. It's doing six shows a week, Wednesday through Sunday, in its custom tent on the north side of the Strat. I really like this show because it's fast and it's family-friendly. And I recently sat down with the show's executive producer, Brian Burke, for a feature in Las Vegas Magazine. That interview comes out this weekend. But we talked about a lot of different aspects of the show scene, and it was just a fascinating chat. So I have to share it here with you. Brian actually first came to Las Vegas to perform in a show at the Stratosphere, a touring show. So working on Celestia has been kind of a cool full circle thing for him. But he's done so much since those days. He was a creative director for Celine Dion's first residency show at the Coliseum. And same job for La Rev at Wynn. And in more recent years, he shifted to a ton of big TV work, producing performances for hit shows like America's Got Talent and Dancing with the Stars and X Factor. He's got a lot to talk about, a lot of Vegas stuff. So check this out. Me and Brian Burke.
I'm from upstate New York. And then I lived in the city for a long time. I was a Broadway dancer. And then I moved here in 2002. Celine Dion moved me here to do her first show. So I was an artistic director on A New Day.
What was kind of the springboard for you to go from dancer, performer to this role that you've been doing since you came to Vegas?
Yeah, so I first lived in Vegas in 1998. I was doing a Broadway tour of a show called Tap Dogs.
At the Stratosphere.
And we landed our tour at the Stratosphere, and I was in there, which is actually really cool. So that was my first, like, so I came to Vegas, and I flew my mom and my brother here. And I was like, well, you know, Vegas, we're doing, you know, a show here. And it was like, you know. And so We went to see Mystère. I think we gambled at Monte Carlo. I showed my mom how to use a slot machine, and we won $2,500. Had no idea what we were doing. So took my brother to see David Copperfield at Caesar's Palace, and then we went to see Mystère, because that was like the show, you know? And so I think O opened at the time. So I went to the press opening of O, and I was like, wow, this is where entertainment is really at. Like, it just blew my mind, and I was like, I can't believe this is... I didn't even fathom something like that could even happen, you know? So when Tap Dogs finished at the Stratosphere, I went back to New York, and I was just like, wow, I would really, really love to go back to Vegas and work on one of those shows, but as like a director, you know? Because I'd been assisting all the directors everywhere I was going. So with Tap Dogs, I was the production supervisor and the show director and everything like that. So I really got the itch for directing. And then my roommate and best friend in New York, who actually choreographed Celestia, Ronnie Todorowski, was one of the choreographers in Belgium in A New Day, where they were all there, because Celine had also gone to see O and then decided she wanted to do that whole thing. So I went, yeah, I really got it from going to see O and from really assisting all the directors that I was kind of working with. And so when the opportunity came up to be on the team for A New Day, I just was like, I'm leaving Harlem, I'm leaving New York, you know? And everybody said to me, that's where careers go to die. How could you leave New York? Broadway's the pinnacle, it's this. And I was like, you guys don't even know what is going on out there in Vegas. Like, it's amazing. Like, and it was just an opportunity I couldn't give up to be part of the team, you know? So they said, come be part of the creation. Anything to work with Franco Dragone, right? Like, I was just like, oh my God. And so I came onto the creative team and I said, you know what, I'll give it a year. I'll stay a year, I'll work on the show. You know, we opened in 2003 and I stayed.
So now that you're doing Celestia, were there lessons learned from the TV world that you could apply to this?
Well, yeah. Like, I was able to go, okay, you need to get a show up and running, and you haven't had it in a year, and if I bring in my TV people that know how to do this, we'll get you something in 4 weeks, because they needed something quickly, and they needed something really good. And I think the ticket buyer that they were aiming for is the person who watches America's Got Talent. It's families, it's millennials, it's and they're used to seeing really high quality stuff now, you know? I mean, and the ratings, it's the number one show on TV and globally, America's Got Talent. So I knew exactly what sort of needed to be done with that show, but also what I couldn't do on other shows, like visuals all over the tent, and like, so I sort of brought then my TV aesthetic. But I also had my 10 years with Franco, and so it all sort of combined into, doing that, the whole package for Celestia, but really quickly. But had I not done TV, I don't think I would have been confident to say to a producer, sure, I can redo a whole show in 4 weeks from scratch. But I knew, you know, we do 2 hours of TV in 1 week, so I was like, you need us with our speed, and we know what to do with this and how to make this work, and we can deliver you a show.
Is that the first time that that's been the situation for you, where you're not starting from scratch, there's a bunch of pieces in place, and you're kind of coming in and putting it all together and giving a polished product?
Yeah. We did that at Le Rev. We did that with Celine. I've done that with some artists, you know, that had like shows that they wanted revamped. It's funny because Lionel Richie literally just called the other day and he was like, I'd love for you to redo my screen content on my tour. Like, you know, it's like, so I do get asked to sort of, I guess on Broadway they'd call it show doctor, but we would say kind of like revamp or just freshen up, I guess, or bring new creativity to something. So yeah, that's fun because there's kind of, you can take what's there and then kind of put your vision on it, you know, see what it is and then take it. So that is a fun, it is fun. I mean, it's great to do things from scratch originally, but I guess I do have a thing for looking at something and knowing how to turn it into what it should be. Mm-hmm. Or what I think it should be. Somebody else would do something different, but, you know, so, yeah. But the first time I really did that was kind of like Le Rev, you know? Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the Strat of today is very different from the Stratosphere where you did Tap Dogs. Yeah. But it must also be exciting to be a part of all the renovations and new stuff they're putting at that resort.
It was like I walked through there on the first day of rehearsal, and everyone's very busy and everything, but I did take a moment and I went over to the sports book, which is where the show was, and I was like, wow, my very first, like, my dream of doing what I'm doing now started here. So it was really cool, like the whole full circle thing. And I walked in and I just had so many memories flood of, like, just, you know, being in there and just, you know. So it was, it's nice to see that property and that area of town are having a new life. Because I just living here this long now, I've loved being a small part of, I feel like Celine was the first one who kind of, you know, the residency is the thing, right? And I feel like her and Renee took a risk in doing that, and we were a small part of that, and I just love to see the development of the city, because I just love it so much and I just believe in it. And so it's been that when I met them and they were like, well, this is all part of a refurbishment of this area of the town and everything, it was really wonderful. So mm-hmm. It had more of a purpose than just redoing a show. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I really liked the show. I thought it was a great mix of...
Oh, good. I'm glad.
You know, kind of some acts that are familiar to somebody who's seen a bunch of Vegas shows.
Yeah.
But all kind of assembled in a different way.
Yeah.
And I thought there were little things that I noticed that I thought made a big difference, like the music, having original music.
All new, original score,
And really just, like, I guess the intimacy of that.
Yeah.
Tent theater that has been set up, and especially when the Wheel of Death comes out and it's so big but it's so close, even if you're sitting in the back,
the proximity. I think that we wanted to make it look like something that was contemporary, that was modern. I think people, because they watch television a lot, they expect a real high level of entertainment, you know? And so we started from scratch with the cast, and there was a lot of hidden talent in the cast that hadn't been explored really. And we learned that the cast was really talented, and that's the thing that sort of really grabbed me to do it was, wow, we can really, like, the heart and soul of a show is the people, right? Like, we all know the bells and whistles are really awesome, but at the end of the day, people really like watching human performance. I just still believe in that. Like, people like to sit down and watch people do extraordinary things, you know? And so we had that in the people, and we called some really great people that had been on America's Got Talent. I called some people and said, I'm doing this new show. We need to make it longer. You want to come and do the show? So the Sandows came in, and Deadly Games came in, and Dima came in, and, you know, and we just worked on making really great content, you know, so that, because my thing is, you should be able to sit down and enjoy a show without any of the bells and whistles. And if you have a heart and soul that's there, the rest of it is, of course, what we love to do, you know. And the writing was on the wall with trying to do projection all over the tent. And I brought in a TV lighting designer who I knew would make really beautiful architecture and pictures. People deserve to be wowed by things and also keep a pace, you know? I don't think it needs to be too long. I don't think that in Celestia's case, I think just a little gentle story is enough. I didn't think it needed to be a love story or a thing. I mean, it's, you know, people want just entertainment. I think you can also draw emotion without telling a very heavy sort of story. So I just thought, let's do a theme. And if we can describe the show in two sentences, we're good, you know? And just let people go out feeling wowed and entertained and that they saw something, hopefully, that looked really modern and cool and beautiful and different than what else they could see on the Strip.
You've been here long enough to see a lot of different trends in entertainment mm-hmm. on the Strip and around town, and you've contributed to those trends, mm-hmm. helped build some of them. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it before, the residency is kind of the thing right now, but mm-hmm. it's always a cycle, right? What do you think is going to be the next, I guess, show trend in Las Vegas? Do you think it's going to...
Wow, the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean... It's definitely sports, right? Like, I went to a hockey game, and that was awesome. And I was really entertained. I went to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and I was like... It was like going to a show. Mm-hmm. Right? It was really entertaining and really cool, and it was like a communal thing. And gosh, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that there is a thing, because people watch TV so much, I think that there's an untapped thing in having stage shows of TV shows that people can go and see. Mm. I think that there's something untapped a little bit there. I still think that that's worth exploring, you know, having people that, you know, like having that, because those brands, people watch Dancing with the Stars, they watch America's Got Talent, they watch American Idol, and the people that are coming to town, I think that they see those things. So I think that there is a little something there. So I think bringing that into Celestia in a way is cool, because people kind of know those acts, or some people anyway would recognize it. But gosh, I don't know what the next, like,
yeah, that makes sense though, because like the Hard Rock was going to do that, I don't know if it was an attraction or a show, but kind of based on The Voice.
Right.
And then that is kind of up in the air now.
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
I think that there are a lot of these acts. I think that what would be really cool, the next phase, is doing interactive, immersive projection and media shows. Because, for example, those acts come in America's Got Talent, right? And they do... like projection mapping and all these sorts of things. They have their own entire shows that are built around performances. I think the thing that is really untapped in this town is interactive media technology shows. That is what isn't here yet, is sitting down and actually going to an immersive thing where the performance, whether it's dance or acrobatics or a performer or a thing, is so interactive and immersive in terms of technology and media. I think that is untapped. Mm-hmm. So that is, tried to do a touch of it with Celestia in the tent, you know, but I would love to make an interactive media show that's integrated with live performance, because I think that that is the thing that it is the next phase, and it just isn't happening here yet. But I believe that the integration of technology with human performance is really the thing in an immersive, because I think that people want immersive experiences. And Las Vegas has always been the place where you can only, right? The only place I could have seen O was in Las Vegas, right? Nowhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. So I love that about Las Vegas. I love that the entertainment here, you don't see anywhere else in the world. You're not going to go see Larev anywhere else in the world. You know, Celine was here when we did Pitbull show. You know, it's... So I think that that is such an amazing... No other city has that. Mm-hmm. And I think that to bring that to the city in a show would be really great. Mm-hmm. Because then it's another... I can't explain it to you, but you got to go and see it, right? And that's what sort of, that's what O was, and that's what, you know, and that's what, like, you had to go see, you know, I feel like Penn and Teller are that, and I feel, you know, everyone in their own way, and just...
Yeah, even the residency shows now, Aerosmith, you can't see that Aerosmith show anywhere else.
The Lady Gaga show, which is incredible.
Yeah.
The thing that I love, Robbie Williams was at the Wynn. Like, these people who sell out arenas and stadiums all around the world are doing custom shows that you can go and see in an intimate space, and you come to Vegas and you have that experience. And I so my next one, I forgot to do from scratch, would be, and you know, there was a property willing, maybe with the Virgin property or something, but there needs to be like a 360 immersive, interactive performance. And it's happening in Europe and it's happening around, and we'd sort of do it on TV, but I really think that people going and being a part of something interactive technology is the one. Mm-hmm.
There is a small outbreak of pop-up experiences on the Strip, or coming soon. The Hello Kitty Cafe opened at the park between Park MGM and New York, New York on Friday, July 12th. It's basically an outdoor restaurant and retail offering with coffees and milk teas and snacks and sweets and exclusive gifts and merch like t-shirts, hats, tote bags, all the fun stuff for your Hello Kitty obsessed friends and relatives. It's open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and until midnight Friday and Saturday. I haven't been able to find out how long the Hello Kitty Cafe will be installed at the park, but my guess is it'll be gone by Labor Day. And coming to Mandalay Bay on August 23rd is Happy Place, a 12-room interactive immersive exhibit that's been called the most Instagrammable pop-up in America by Urban Daddy. It's got a super bloom room filled with 40,000 handmade gold flowers, an upside-down room, the world's largest indoor confetti dome, a giant rainbow complete with a pot of happiness to jump into, the rubber ducky bathtub of fun, the cookie room, and a whole lot of other stuff that really seems like it only exists to make you feel nice and to take pictures and post to your socials. Tickets will start at $30 and go on sale August 3rd. That's at Mandalay Bay. One of my happy places on the Strip is suddenly gone. The Moneyline Sports Bar and Book at Park MGM has temporarily closed for a summer renovation. It will reopen before football season, of course, with a new look and a new menu, and I'm sure it will be great. But I was a devoted fan of the small cafeteria-like kitchen that was inside Moneyline called the Side Betty Grill. They had some of the best burgers, some of the best wings, some of the best fried chicken sandwiches anywhere in Las Vegas, in my opinion. And it really became my go-to spot for a pre-show bite when I was headed to Park Theater or T-Mobile Arena. Side Betty will not return as part of this venue renovation, so that makes me sad, but hopefully the new version of this already pretty cool sports bar will have something else to keep me happy. On a much happier note, one piece of Strip food news I missed that deserves to be mentioned: Thomas Keller has partnered with Wynn Las Vegas to open a new restaurant in the space formerly occupied by the Country Club at Wynn. This is coming in the fall of 2020, next year. This is a big deal because Keller is still one of the most acclaimed chefs and restaurant operators in the country, certainly known best for French Laundry and Per Se and Bouchon, among some other brands. Bouchon at the Venetian is still just an institution on the Strip. Wynn will be opening its new conference spaces very close to where this new restaurant will be located. And it's a big get for Wynn, and it also raises the question whether Bouchon will remain at the Venetian. These resorts are neighbors, and they've been highly competitive with each other over the years. What is taking over the Strip this week? Well, who says there aren't huge conferences and conventions in the summer in Las Vegas? Microsoft Inspire has taken over Mandalay Bay this week with some 40,000 attendees. That event continues through Thursday. And the Las Vegas Convention Center is hosting the Association of Woodworking and Furnishing Suppliers Fair through Saturday. That one attracts 19,000 attendees. My one big show this week is at Park Theater. Beck and Cage the Elephant have this joint tour called the Night Running Tour. Spoon is also on the bill, and it's at Park Theater Friday night. I'm going to go to this one, and it's going to be cool to go see a show there that's not one of the superstar residencies in that room, even if I can't get a fried chicken sandwich ahead of time. It will still be awesome. If you want some more entertainment options this weekend, check out my Best Bets column every Friday at LasVegasSun.com. That's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. You can go back and listen to past episodes on Apple Podcasts or at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. Thanks again for listening. Catch you next week.